Good morning. I'm going to read Romans 1, 18 to 32. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree of those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
You may be seated.
Thanks, Jane.
Where is America headed? Where is America headed? Or after 12 years, since I told you I preached this 12 years ago, have we already arrived? Really, what will life be like here in the USA in the next year, 5, 10, 20 years, or right now? Certainly some historians have compared us to the Roman Empire, where we are decaying from within. A question that is asked of me once in a while is, does the Bible say anything about America? Does the Bible say anything about the USA? Does God's word say anything about us as a country? Well, the answer, of course, is no. America is not mentioned directly in the Bible. But the answer is yes. America is mentioned in general as any person, culture, society, or country that would reject God's will, would reject God's righteousness. That's what Paul is speaking about here in Romans 1, the Apostle Paul. Romans 1 is a prophetic word of God regarding all people who have rejected God's revelation of righteousness through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that settle for a moment. Let me repeat. Romans 1 is a prophetic word of God regarding all people who have rejected God's revelation of righteousness through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 17 of chapter 1 is very clear. Verse 17 is about God's revelation, his revelation of righteousness, or our right standing before him. Verse 18 is about the revelation of God's wrath on all who choose wickedness and godlessness. Now here's where there may be some debate. I believe that we as a nation have rejected God's righteousness through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are choosing godlessness and wickedness, and we will reap the consequences. We are on a downward path of degeneration, and that should not surprise us. I quote Paul again in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed. That's a prophetic word of God. It will take place. What will America or any society or culture or people group look like as it slips down this slippery slope into godlessness? What will it really look like? Well, Paul gives us an answer to that. And simply as a nice little outline and something that we can hold on to, what I believe we find here are four sad characteristics from Romans 1 that reveals a society and a people and what they will look like when they reject God's revealed righteousness. My purpose this morning is to outline these for us and then to motivate us to be prepared for the coming of God's wrath through a downward spiral and encourage us to live contrary to the path that our society will follow. In other words, as Christians and as a church, we need to be counterculture. The church must be a Christ-centered, Bible-based counterculture. So let's look at what this will be like. Where is America headed, or has it already arrived? Four characteristics. The first one, and as I share these, just ponder them for a moment. I pray that the Holy Spirit will communicate to you. Number one, thought without truth. Will be a society characterized by thought without truth. Verse 18, for you more philosophically minded, this is our metaphysical or worldview life. Y'all grasp that? You can talk about that at lunchtime after the congregational meeting, okay? Thought without truth, this is our metaphysical or worldview life. Thought here means our way of thinking, our worldview, our philosophy of life. Thought includes how we frame everything, including our foundation for truth and absolutes in life. I don't want you to miss that. It's how we frame everything in terms of how do we approach life and how do we think about life and how we're going to live and our whole worldview, our philosophy of life. And especially focusing on our foundation for truth and absolutes in life. And by the way, that is a good question for evangelism and outreach. What is your basis for truth? Everyone, every human being has a thought or worldview or a philosophy of life. Everyone has a base for truth. The essential issue is truth. How do we determine truth? Can we know truth? Can we really know truth? And then will we live by that truth? Now here I am not simply talking about telling a lie. You know, did you steal the cookie out of the cookie jar type of lie, maybe a lying answer. I'm not just so concerned about that kind of an issue. And I think Paul is addressing this. I'm speaking about the foundation for what we believe about life and reality and how we live. Perversions of truth can be seen in our world from everything from including totalitarian regimes to controlling media, to occult teaching, demonic teachings, and their belief that lies in the lies of some demonic spirit. By the way, I found it very interesting that in 1991, I was in the former Soviet Union on a short-term missions trip, and we were in the Republic of Moldova. We went through Moscow, and we were there. And those of you that know about the Soviet Union, a totalitarian regime, state-controlled media, and their official newspaper was called Pravda, in English meaning truth. Yeah, tell that to the average person on the street. We, as a people, a nation, a society, a culture, will we be determined how we live? Will we build our lives and society on truth, or will we suppress it? That may not have a whole lot of challenge to you personally, but that is a critical, critical issue of the hour in which we live. Will we, as a people, as a culture, as a society, be determined to build our lives and our society on truth, or will we suppress it? Verse 18 says that God's wrath, now mind you, catch that, God's wrath, not, let me, God saying, I'm going to smack your wrist here. It's God's wrath is being revealed against men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. John chapter 14, verse 6. And those of you that know the Bible and those of you that have been a Christian for any length of time, there's Jesus talking about truth. And in John 14, 6, which I think is the most profound statement made by anybody, anytime, anywhere in history. And Jesus says these radical words, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Suppress the truth of Jesus, suppress the truth of God, and we are left with nothing but secularism, a secular society, a people and a nation void of God. Postmodernism, as a thought or a worldview, says there may be such a thing as truth, but we may not be able to know it, or we can't know it. And truth is just, it's relative. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I've shared this with some of you that know me, and over the years I've preached and taught. The philosophical law of non-contradiction says that two presuppositions of equal but opposite meaning cannot both be true at the same time. Now, would somebody like to repeat that back to me? No, you don't have to. Two presuppositions. The philosophical law of non-contradiction is very important for you. You go, I'm thinking about lunch today, you know. The philosophical law of non-contradiction. We're at a critical time in history as a nation. Says, two presuppositions of equal but opposite meaning cannot both be true at the same time. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. Now, either Jesus was telling the truth or he was lying. You cannot have it both ways. It's either raining outside today or we're all in Hawaii enjoying 80-degree sunshine. Now, I know it's raining outside. That is truth. So two presuppositions of equal but opposite meaning cannot both be true. We are not in Hawaii. It's raining. And we're in kind of dismal New Jersey today. That's truth. Now, Jesus was either telling the truth or he was lying. He says, I am truth. So it should not surprise us that we live in an age where truth is being suppressed. Be it in all kind of avenues and venues. Take it from the theory of evolution being taught as absolute truth, as fact in our public schools and universities. Contrary to the theory and idea of the theory of an intelligent design or God created it. Two, morals and values and ethics that we'll get to in a moment. So when you push God and Jesus out of society and suppress the truth of God's righteousness, a culture, a society, and a people and a nation will be dominated by lies and theories and no absolutes, except the absolute absurdity, the absolute absurdity that we cannot know truth. And that, my brothers and sisters, leads to schizophrenia. And if I were to pick one word that describes our culture today in America, we are a schizophrenic nation. Because on one hand, and we'll talk about this if you want to go to lunch, protect them poor innocent kids in public schools, which I'm in favor of, but kill that baby that's halfway out of the womb. You talk about schizophrenia. That's schizophrenia. And you could list hundreds of examples. America, and I have it in my notes from 12 years ago, America is headed for a truthless way of life. And then for today, I said, have we arrived there? Have we arrived there? The second sad characteristic is religion without revelation. Religion without revelation, verses 19 through 25. For those of you a little more philosophically minded, this is our epistemological or theological life. In other words, how do we know what we know? How do we know anything? What do we believe about God? And you know, everybody has a belief system. Everybody has a belief system. That covers everything from the atheist who says there is no God, to the agnostic who's not sure, to the theist that says there is a God, to the Christian theist like us that say, yes, we believe in God and He's revealed Himself to us through Jesus, God in the flesh. So everybody has a belief system. Our belief system as Christians is based on the revelation of God. God has chosen to speak to us through all of creation, His glory, through the Bible, the written, inspired Word of God, and through the person, the living person of Jesus Christ, the Logos, God in the flesh. God has chosen to do that. So our belief system, our, if you want to use the word, which I don't like, but if you want to use the word religion, our religion is based on revelation. But we are living in a culture and a time in America where we have religion without revelation. We have a people that desperately need religion, but they don't want the revelation. And you make it up. You make up your belief system. You make up your dogma. You make up your doctrine. You make up your ethics and your morals as you go, as you evolve, or as one man or one group says it will be. Be it materialism and such watchwords that you need to be very sensitive to, words like progressivism and liquid and fluid, all have their roots in truth is evolving and reality is evolving. And that's where we find ourselves. And it's evolving to narcissism. Though it only matters is me. My self-centered life. Religion without revelation does not exclude worship. Mankind is created with the need to worship. And we call that, as Christians, we call that God-shaped vacuum that's inside every person. There is a God-shaped vacuum that has to be filled. And if you suppress Jesus and you suppress God, that vacuum has to be filled somehow. Man has this innate desire and need to worship something. Why the psalmist in Psalm 53:1 says that only the fool says there is no God. I mean, you think about that. There is no God. How do you know? Well, I know because I know. There is no God. In other words, you're telling me you know everything? You have studied every aspect of creation and the universe, and you understand every facet of science and technology and the planet and all the stars and all that, and you've come to the conclusion, because you know everything, there is no God. I mean, how foolish can you be? According to verses 23 through 25, mankind that has rejected God's revelation of righteousness, suppressed the truth, will catch these words, will exchange the glory of God for a lie, and will worship and serve created things. That's scary. If they have rejected God's revealed revelation of righteousness and they suppress the truth, they will exchange the glory of God for a lie and will worship and serve created things. We put that under the big umbrella of idolatry. Idolatry covers everything from bowing before statues of wood and stone to anything that takes priority in our lives over the Lord Jesus Christ, over God and all of His glory in creation. Do we as a society, have we evolved to the place that we have rejected and suppressed the truth of God's righteousness in Jesus, and now we are worshiping created things? I think so. And just to name a few gods: materialism, sports, pleasure, technology, entertainment, false gods, false ideologies in religion, and you could list many others. America is headed to idolatry, or have we arrived there as a nation? Third sad characteristic: pleasure without purity. Verses 24 and 27. This is a very difficult passage for some people. Some Christians struggle with it. They don't even like to read it. Don't even want it preached and talked about. But it's there. And Paul is talking about it in the context of a society and a culture and a people that have suppressed God's revealed righteousness and suppressed the truth. And this involves our ethical or moral life. Our ethical or moral life. Ethics or morals involves our standard of right or wrong, and everybody has them. Our standards for right and wrong, every person has them. Every person, every culture, every society, and every nation must have ethics and morals. If you think not, sad time. Note how we have progressed in Paul's writing here from suppressing the truth to idolatry and now to the standard of our ethics. How do we determine right and wrong? How do we determine right and wrong? Reject the righteousness of God, and a nation and a people will slip into pleasure without any God-given standard for purity. It's inevitable. Reject the righteousness of God, and a nation and a people and a culture and a society and individuals will slip into pleasure without any God-given standard of purity. Verse 24 is very, very clear as to the standard and the slippery progression. Please listen carefully. I quote Paul, "Therefore," they've suppressed the truth, they've suppressed, rejected the righteousness, "therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another." This sermon is not about sexual perversion, even though you have to touch on it. This is about suppressing God's truth, and we're a society, and we're a culture, and we're a people we'll inevitably slide into. Verse 26, God gave them over to shameful lusts. And it goes on to explain homosexual sins, men with men, women with women. They're called shameful lusts, indecent acts, perversions. That's not me. You read it. homosexuality, as well as adultery, as well as fornication, as well as bestiality, pedophilia, etc., etc., etc. They are all listed in the same category as sin by God's standard. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Man, I committed fornication. When you reject God, fornication, by the way, is sex before marriage, if you didn't know. And as I've shared on numerous occasions, my oldest son was at my wedding. Boy, God brought good out of that, man. Awesome. Sexual sins are pleasure without purity. Reject God's righteousness, suppress the truth, worship the created thing, and you will slip into pleasure without purity. Specifically, and Paul mentions it, sexual sins. Just so natural, because we're sexual beings. It's just part of who we are. So don't be surprised at the epidemic problem that we have in our culture today with fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bisexuality, etc., etc., and all the other things you could list, and LGBTQ. And I'm not here to say that to be negative about anybody. We need to love all of everyone. But that's just a characteristic of a society that suppresses the truth and replaces worship of God with created things. In terms of homosexuality, society may say they're married, but in God's eyes, there is no such thing as a homosexual marriage. It's impossible. I do not like to use the word gay. I refuse to use the word gay. And I want you to know why. Do your own study. Don't believe me. Do your own study and find out the root behind the word gay. Gay comes from a concept of a lifestyle of sexual pleasure by any means, including pedophilia. It's not just homosexuals, man with man, woman with woman. It's a lifestyle of pleasure, sexual pleasure, any way you can find it. Sexual sins are just the tip of the iceberg, because they're so easy to see, of a society that has rejected purity for pleasure. By the way, that Q and LB, you know, the phrase that's popular right now, the Q represents the person that just doesn't know. They just don't know. Am I male, female? Am I heterosexual? Am I bisexual? Am I homosexual? Do you know what the real issue there is? Identity. Identity. They don't really know who they are in Jesus Christ. As a creature, as a person, as a man or a woman created in the image of God, that God loves them. Okay, the fourth sad characteristic. Life without love. Life without love. Verses 28 through 32. This is our social or relational life. In other words, how do we relate to each other in our society and as a nation? How do we get along? How do we get along? Jesus taught us to love one another. Jesus taught us to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Right? If you know Scripture. By the way, since I was very pointed about sexual sins and homosexuality, etc., as my brothers and sisters in Christ, do not quote the Old Testament when you're talking to a homosexual. So, whoa. Because you know what's going to be smacking you right in the face? You think it's okay to stone homosexuals? You have no other answer. But you better quote Jesus. Because Jesus said, we're to love one another. And we're to do to one another as we would have others do to us. God's prescribed characteristic for any people, culture, society, or nation is one of love. And here it's agape love, self-sacrificing, divine love. And these verses 28 through 32, describe a people that have rejected God's righteousness, suppressed the truth, worshiped the created thing, and put pleasure ahead of purity. Listen to it. It is frightening. I'm 72 years of age. I don't know how much longer I have to live. My mother's 94, so maybe I'll go there. But I'm going to have a 10th great-grandchild born in August. I don't know what the world's going to be like when she's or he or she's 20. But listen to what Paul says here about a nation, a culture, a people that have rejected and suppressed the truth. Verse 28. He gave them over to a depraved mind. If that doesn't grab you, I trust that the Holy Spirit will grab you with it. He gives them over to a depraved mind. And then verses 29 through 30 describe what that looks like. Listen to it. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They not only continue to do those things, but they also approve of those who practice them. That shakes me. Especially that last part. They approve of them. They approve of that. They approve of that way of life. So we are seeing a loveless society and a people absorbed with self and self-love, narcissism. Certainly that already describes many of our segments of society and culture today. Many homes, many families, many small groups and people groups in our nation. No agape love. Describes so much of what we call entertainment. A.W. Tozer, well-known CNMA pastor and prophetic speaker, says we are becoming what we laugh at. I have to be honest, when I'm doing my mail thing and channel surfing on TV and I see some stuff and I catch myself laughing. Tozer's words haunt me. Am I becoming what I'm laughing at? America is moving towards life without love. Or have we really arrived there? Four characteristics, let's summarize, of any people, society, culture, or nation that rejects the righteousness of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and suppress the truth. Thought without truth. Religion without revelation, pleasure without purity, and life without love. I challenge us that we will be a counterculture as individuals, as families, as marriages, and as a home. That we will build our lives on truth and revelation and purity and love. The consequences of rejecting that. The consequences of rejecting that is what we see outlined here in Romans chapter 1. Are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? Let's stand and pray. Let's talk to the Lord for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you building your life on truth? If you've never given your life to Jesus, I invite you to do that. Come to Him on His terms. Say, Jesus, I want you to be my life. I repent of my sin. I've rebelled. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Speak to us now, Father. We're going to leave this place in a few moments. And I pray that we'll be so keenly aware of Your Holy Spirit. We will breathe in your presence. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.